News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got a live radio show here. Do we know where it is?
I don't know. It was cloudy today, and I was lost. It was so beautiful.
Oh, can you imagine that? What a difference.
So good.
Oh, well, we deserve it for about, what, 10 more minutes, and it's going to get hot again.
Yeah, I know. Well,
so it goes at El Paso. Good morning, and welcome, Melissa Sargent,
good morning, Jackson.
To the El Paso History Radio Show. We do this every week, whether we need to or not. But we really do, because there's so much history here in El Paso, you're never going to get around to all of it.
Yeah, we're going to keep going forever.
Well, it's there, and so we might as well just keep doing it. We appreciate the iHeartMedia people letting us be here on a Saturday morning. It's really kind of fun to get out there and see what's going on in history and bring it back here and tell people, because a lot of people in El Paso don't get taught their history in their schools.
No, they don't.
And that's what we're finding out, that we're looking at a lot of people coming along and say, well, what about this or what about this?
We're filling in the gaps.
We can show you where to find the history in El Paso, because it's definitely here, and it's definitely worthy. That's the other thing, because we always say that Texas history begins in El Paso, and we have yet to hear any East Coast people tell us otherwise, at it, it's accurate. Texas history begins in El Paso, so
always.
There. 690, where to find us? Where else?
Well, you can also go to ktsmradio.com, and you can click on the app that's there, or download the iHeartRadio application, and you can put that on your smartphone, your computer, your tablet, and take us everywhere you go. I mean, we've got people around the world that listen to our show because of iHeart, so this is great.
We got guys in California. I know they're listening this morning. People, you said there's, I know there's some up in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
We do get around. Now, if they win a prize on the trivia, they have to come get it.
Yeah, I know. Hop in the car and drive
so
down.
There.
Unfortunately, so
otherwise,
it's a local thing.
Give it to somebody here. All right, we're going to have trivia today, right? We got all that going on with Pepe's and whatever.
Yes. We're going to have a lot of trivia going on today. And the first hour, the prize is $20 food coupons to Pepe's and Canutillo, or an El Paso Gold DVD, or a copy of Tom Diamond's book when he was a guest here a couple weeks ago, Moonspell. And it's a pretty interesting little book.
The guy's had an interesting life.
Yeah, it's an easy read. It's a fun read.
That's
yeah.
why we do that. All right.
I learned some things about El Paso I was surprised about.
We will get to the trivia in just a moment or two. But in the meantime, let's talk about the history of El Paso in relation to all kinds of things. We're on a trail system here. And El Paso has always been a place on a trail, because that's what goes on here next to the Rio Grande River. You're going to find people congregating, animals first, and they were chasing, people were chasing them, and yada, yada. So we ended up with all kinds of trails going through El Paso, and one of them we're going to talk about today is a specific trail called the Santa Fe Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And Santa Fe has always been on the Camino Real. El Paso has always been on the Camino Real.
Right.
But not everybody's always been on the Santa Fe Trail, because it came up not too long ago. So we're going to talk today over the Santa Fe Trail to New Mexico. This is the book, The Travel Diaries and Autobiography of Dr. Roland Willard. And the author is here, mm-hmm. and her name is Joy Poole. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm so pleased to be here.
Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome.
She came down the hill to see us.
You're from Santa Fe area.
I am from Santa Fe, where I'm the Deputy State Librarian for the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, there's a state library in every state, including the great state of Texas, and our role is to collect government documents for posterity, but we also serve the Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. In our case, we have a Books by Mail program where we send out books to people that are unable to travel to a local public library. So we're not a public library. We're a government library. We also support all the public libraries of our state. And
the state of New Mexico.
Right.
And so this book you have now, and you're also credentialed otherwise, you have been part of the Camino Real Trail Museum. What's it called now? Heritage Museum?
Sure. I was the director of the Camino Real Heritage, International Heritage Center, and we opened that in 2005. And initially it was a partnership with the Bureau of Land Management in the state of New Mexico. And it's a wonderful facility, an award-winning facility, about 20,000 square feet. It has exhibitions about the Camino Real all the way from Old Mexico, if you will, to Santa Fe. And there's a large portion of the museum that has exhibits on El Paso.
Oh, that's huge up there, because El Paso being a major part of the Camino Real. That museum unto itself is in the middle of nowhere.
It is. And the reason they put it there was that they wanted to provide visitors the experience of how it would have been when Oñate and the colonizers came up through El Paso del Norte, crossed the Rio Grande, and then went up that Jornada del Muerto on up to Santa Fe to settle. And once people make it to that facility, they are just in total awe and love it. It's just, because it's 3 miles off the interstate, it's a little difficult for people, because usually they're hell-bent, so to speak, to get from El Paso to Albuquerque or Santa Fe
or points north.
But if you take the time to stop, people, I've heard all kinds of compliments over the years about what a great museum it is and a facility and how much people enjoy it.
It is unusual. You've been there?
No, I haven't
yet. Guys need to go stop off there.
You've been there, Bernie.
On your way running quickly to the casinos or whatever.
Yeah. I'll tell you a good reason to go. It's for the Bosque del Apache Festival, or to see the cranes.
Yes.
It's a winter museum, if you will, and it's a great combination to combine that Bosque del Apache experience and the Camino Real Heritage Center.
Now, the Camino Real is also the Santa Fe Trail, is it not?
Well,
tell us about the trails.
Let me tell you a little bit about the Santa Fe
Trail. What do you call on the trails?
Here's the way I look at it. The Santa Fe Trail is bookended, if you will, by the Boone's Lick Road in Missouri and then by El Camino Real here in our part of the country. So you have the Boone's Lick Road that goes from St. Louis, roughly, to Franklin, Missouri, and then from Franklin, Missouri to Santa Fe is the Santa Fe Trail.
And that's called the Santa Fe Trail, that section.
Right. So And then you had El Camino Real. Now, it used to be, too, there was a portion of it in the day. It was called the Chihuahua Trail, but, of course, that was only the part from Santa Fe down to Chihuahua and through, of course, El Paso del Norte.
It's all the same path no matter what you're doing, right?
Yes, it is.
And that's kind of interesting. Now, when the Santa Fe people ended up following the Camino Real and turning it into a bigger trade route, didn't they start using bigger wagons?
Well, you know, it started in the first years of the Santa Fe Trail trade, they used pack mules.
Oh.
And then about 5 years into it, in fact, in 1825, when Dr. Willard traveled, it was only the second year that they had used wagons. And then, of course, it was an international trail of commerce, unlike the Oregon Trail or the, you know, those roads that went off to California to where people were wanting to, you know, strike it rich with the gold fever. And there were all kinds of traders and merchants that traveled.
When did the trail first open up to Missouri, between Missouri and Santa Fe? That's the Santa Fe Trail you're referring to.
It was in 1821.
Okay, that's the question. So before that, New Mexico had been totally isolated except for the path down to Camino Real.
New Mexico was isolated, and they were totally dependent on the residents of Chihuahua to supply them with foodstuffs and any kinds of goods that they wanted. The Spanish, you know, government had very strict, you know, licensing on who could bargain or shop or market different things. For example, iron had to come all the way from Toledo, Spain. You know, you couldn't have it here in the New World. And so, you know, we found all kinds of renegade iron works, if you will, in New Mexico, because they didn't have any iron implements. All those years, they would use wooden rakes and wooden shovels.
Black market iron. Can you imagine?
There you go.
Right.
Well, one of the things that the Spaniards were looking for when they came to the New World, well, they were looking for metal, and they wanted gold, but they also wanted iron.
Sure.
They want to make their own weapons here. Yeah. So, all right, you're following all kinds of information to get here. The Santa Fe Trail being what it is. The name of the book is Over the Santa Fe Trail to Mexico. But Dr. Roland Willard, we got to get into what he did, because he's the guy that sort of like wrote the book.
Yep, he did. And so here's the story of Roland. He started out in New York and ended up in...
He started in New York.
He was born and raised there. And then early as a young man, he navigated the Ohio River system 1,500 miles, landed in St. Charles, was there for a few years as a carpenter, and then was approached by some physicians there to study medicine. So he did a medical apprenticeship under Dr. Millington, and here's how he learned to be a doctor. There was a skeleton that he could look at. There were about maybe 10 medical textbooks written in the late 1700s that he could read. And then he, as luck would have it, in those days, a couple of people died, and they left their cadavers to the medical doctor. And so, you know, he tells stories about, you know, sawing open these
cadavers. You have a funny look on your face. Oh, my God.
Sawing off these cadavers and then, you know, looking at them to see how they died.
Oh, well.
And examining their physiology, if you will. And then he also had a drugstore where they sold medicines. And the Millingtons in St. Charles actually grew castor oil, and they sold castor oil to the Lewis and Clark expedition. Mm. So anyway, through that association with these people getting drugs and medicine, and also with the legislators that were one block from the drugstore, he learned about the Santa Fe trade and how profitable it was. After his three-year residency, he was tiptoe for adventure.
I'm out of here.
Who gave him his medical degree, or did he just decide he had one?
He just served as a medical apprentice under Dr. Millington, who had went to school, if you will, at the University of Pennsylvania under Dr. Benjamin Rush, who's a well-known early medical doctor.
So that training made him a doctor?
Yes.
Okay. Now let's get to
a surgeon.
Well, let's get to the punchline. Who was this doctor when it comes to movies?
Well, the doctor, on his second day out on the Santa Fe Trail, had the opportunity to meet Hugh Glass. And Hugh Glass had, the year before, been attacked by a grizzly bear. And Hugh Glass, once he learned that Dr. Willard was a physician, started regaling him with stories of his grizzly bear attack. I can only imagine what Dr. Willard thought. It was his first day on the trail. He was a greenhorn, and he's going on a wilderness journey out, you know, to the far west, to a foreign country.
He has a guy who's half bear lunch right sitting there.
Right. And so, anyway, long story short, Hugh Glass stripped down buck naked, and Dr. Willard examined him. And it's the only written medical account of the deformities that Hugh Glass endured or had as a result of that grizzly bear attack.
Okay, who is Leonard DiCaprio compared to this guy?
Well, DiCaprio is a very good actor, as you know. He won the Academy Award for portraying Hugh Glass.
That's the movie.
In the movie The Revenant.
And that's the big deal here. You were writing this book and getting this information from an autobiography into a usable form for people, not realizing someone else was cooking up a movie.
That's right. And so, if you will, my book has the rest of the story, as the great radio personality Paul Harvey used to say.
It's a great story. I mean, to imagine have seen this man, especially after that time, having not really been treated other than what he did for himself, being Hugh Glass, to meet this medical doctor. Did he pursue anything to help him more?
No, there wasn't, I don't think, anything really that he could do. I will say that they traveled the Santa Fe Trail together, some 700 miles, and throughout that journey, there were times when Hugh Glass was sick, and Dr. Willard would administer medicine to him and that sort of thing. Hugh Glass served as the hunter for the little group of men that went across. They called themselves the Packers. What happened when they met on that spring caravan, they always would travel in groups for protection. But that year, because of the wagons, they had just the packers with their pack animals go in front of the wagon because they could make better time. And there was about 30 of those men that preceded the wagon train of some 240 wagons, 105 men, 34 wagons, 105 men, and 240 mules and horses that came behind them about 2 weeks later. And Glass went out and would be shooting game for the men and then bringing it back to camp.
So they would get there, the campsite set up for them by the time they arrived, basically, with food and supplies and such.
No, not really. They just were traveling faster because that wagon train was a good 2 weeks behind them.
Two weeks.
They would travel a lot slower.
Yeah,
but
obviously.
There was a huge calamity that happened out there on the short grass prairies of western Kansas. So they're traveling out there, and they run into the big herds of the buffalo feeding off that short grass prairie. And, you know, Hugh Glass was an experienced mountain man. He had hunted buffalo before, but none of these, Dr. Willard and the rest of the greenhorns that were in those packers, had never hunted buffalo before. So they decided they're going to go out and shoot at the buffalo. So, you know, now, mind you, the packers are traveling through the herd. There's as far as the eye could see, buffalo, right? And they're just moving slowly through the herd. So they go out in front of the packers, and they crawl in on all fours and get out their muskets, and they're going to shoot the buffalo. Well, what they managed to do is turn that whole herd of buffalo back onto the oncoming path of the packers. And I'll tell you, I can only imagine, all hell broke loose out there with horses and men scattering to the in the four directions.
A buffalo stampede.
Yeah, yes. That would have sounded like an earthquake.
So this was the crowd as he was getting to Santa Fe.
Yes.
When he got to Santa Fe, what do they call the trail from there to El Paso?
El Camino Real, of
so
course.
So that was it. That was the Santa Fe Trail. Then you get on the Camino Real.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Chihuahua Trail, I guess. Would they call it that still?
The Chihuahua Trail moniker was a little bit later because over time, with these trails, all of them, the terminus for them would change. And so a lot of times the early maps would have, like, the road to Santa Fe, or it would say the road to Chihuahua, right.
Okay,
or the
yeah.
Chihuahua Trail, Santa Fe Trail.
Okay, but the El Paso was always on this trail, and so was Santa Fe.
Sure.
2 points of that are very interesting. And as you go back further in time to the Camino Real, you can then come forward and see how all these things occurred. When you get to the Santa Fe Trail, and then you turn the corner coming south toward El Paso, the Camino Real, that was not in good shape for wagons.
It was not. No, it
at
was
all.
Very sandy soil out here. And the pack mules and trains did so much better with transporting cargo. A mule could transport over 2.5 times its weight in cargo. So
pretty much anywhere.
Sure. And they also didn't require a lot of water, and they were very sure-footed
yeah.
in this rocky terrain here.
Well, let's talk about the trail a little further. We need to take a break here and give away some stuff.
Okay.
And we do that fairly well. And,
yes,
and
we
what
do.
We're going to do is give away trivia prizes. But let's pick it up on the trail, because there's a paraje that we don't know about.
That's right.
Not too far from El Paso that came up in this diary. Speaking of which, how big is this book? Are you ready? That's how big the book is on radio, people. So, now, moving
and
on
no
to...
more eardrums.
Well, but that's just the way it goes. We have to do what we can here.
Less Joy than Poole 300 pages.
Joy Poole is the author. She's got a hardback book here. It's called Over the Santa Fe Trail to Mexico, The Travel Diaries and Autobiography of Dr. Roland Willard. And Dr. Roland Willard is the guy that patched up the bear bait.
That's right.
Boy, I mean, how could that guy survive? There must have not been much of him left to do that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Maybe we won't talk about that in a minute. We'll save that for later. But, trivia, what do you got?
Trivia. Well, our question for the first hour is, what city and state did Dr. Roland Willard, start his journey down the Santa Fe Trail?
Now, you mean the Santa Fe Trail or?
The Santa Fe Trail.
Across the Santa Fe Trail.
Well, okay, across the Santa
yeah,
Fe Trail.
Yeah, see, that's I got confused because I thought the Santa Fe Trail had something to do with El Paso. It sort of doesn't.
No.
It's up there.
It's up north.
So figure that.
Because he came down the Santa Fe Trail to Santa Fe.
What's the question?
What city and state did Dr. Roland Willard start his journey down the Santa Fe Trail?
There you go. There's the question. What do you get when you win something? All these things you said?
Nothing.
Gunfights.
No. You get $20 for Pepe's New Mexican Food up in Cañotillo, or one of the DVDs, which you want to read them?
Well,
since you're throwing them around there.
Ghost
you've got
3.
Ghost Story Volume 3 is what we're giving away.
Well, it's available. I mean,
we've got El Paso Waco Tanks. We've got Gunfights of the Old West and Ghost Stories Volume 2, or...
What?
The Moonspell book by Tom Diamond.
Well, how do they get this book? By answering this
well,
question. What do they have to do?
They have to call 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
For years, Denny's made some pretty darn good pancakes, but they knew they could do better. So they did. Now they're fluffier, tastier, and better. Are they better than yours? Only you can decide. Denny's. Welcome to America's Diner.
Every day, 1 million people enter the United States. Travelers, visitors, newcomers, and some who intend us harm. And every day, the men and women of U.S. Customs and Border Protection safeguard our nation. CBP officers stop terrorists, drugs, and counterfeit goods before they enter our country. In an uncertain world, CBP is America's edge. Visit cbp.gov/careers. CBP, America's edge. CBP is an equal opportunity employer.
If you want to be successful at your job, you have to have an advantage. At El Paso, helpwanted.com, our advantage is the hometown advantage. The advantage local people have when they work, where they live. Nobody connects them with local hometown employers better than we do. And nobody has a better selection of local job openings either. Jobs with that hometown advantage. Apply online today and put it to work for you. ElPasoHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I got lines full of phones here. You're going to talk to a lot of people. Got a couple things to tell you about, though. We need to let you know that Joy Poole is going to have a signing today.
That's right.
Of her new book. It's The Fountains at Farrah, and that's at Barnes & Noble, 2 to 4 p.m. today, July 16th. By golly, that is today. And so that's at 8889 Gateway Boulevard. If you don't know where the fountains are, then don't bother. Because, I mean, you need
you
to know where
they are by now.
You can't afford her book anyway. It's beyond. In fact, it's a simple book. How much is this book?
It's only $25. Well, actually, they probably have to sell it for $30 there. I sell it for $25. Sorry.
Okay,
yeah,
but
we'll be putting where you can get it
but
online
on your
also.
Website, it's cheaper. Or somewhere.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But that's going on today.
That's what she's doing over. She's sitting in front of Barnes & Noble with her car with the trunk open.
And also, just to let you know, El Paso Gold DVDs, Los Portales Museum now sells them, and Johnson Jewelers, 5860 North Mesa. How about that?
He's now your book man, huh?
We're everywhere. So what do you got?
The Texas State Historical Association presents the 2016 Virtual Race Across Texas, which started July 11th. This is a fun game with serious prizes, enabling participants to virtually travel across Texas, testing their knowledge of the Lone Star State along the way. The game is free to play and an exciting way for you to share your love of Texas history with your friends, or at least prove to them that you know it best. And there are prizes in addition to the Traeger Little Tex Elite Grill and the grand prize. They'll award weekly prizes that include Texas getaways. Become a TSHA member today and invite your friends and family to join too. Don't wait to get started. You can sign up now and begin earning points in the Virtual Race Across Texas. Just go to tshaonline.org.
It's nice they found us. We found them.
Yeah, that was fun.
They're going to come have a convention here in a couple of years. It'll be kind of fun. All right, we got a Pepe certificate ready to go here.
Ready and waiting.
Ready to go. Now, okay. Should we go down the list of folks who are on the phone here? What was the question again?
What city and state did Dr. Roland Willard start his journey down the Santa Fe Trail?
Or across the Santa Fe
Trail. Across the Santa Fe Trail.
Okay, and we think Robert knows the answer. Robert's on the radio. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine.
Well, surviving. And you?
Good. I believe the state was Missouri, and the city was Franklin.
No, it was
St. Don't say it. But it wasn't Franklin.
Gave it away.
Thank you for trying. Sorry. We appreciate it. We have other callers. You see, we have another call. Robert, sorry about that, Chief. Let's go down to Carla. Carla may know this answer. What was the question? Where did he start this journey? Carla,
He started in St. Charles, Missouri.
There we go,
Joy.
She's a winner.
There you go. Joy says this one's a winner. And we have another caller behind. Don't go away, caller number Kevin. Oh, Kevin dropped off.
Right.
Oh, in that case, Carla, we got a second question. First of all, what do you want to win on this first one? You got a Pepe's. What else?
$20 gift certificate for Pepe's New Mexican Food, the Moonspell book by Tom Diamond,
or
one of the El Paso Gold DVDs, Volume 2 Ghost Stories, Volume 3 Ghost Stories, Gunfights of the Old West, and El Paso's Waco Tanks.
I will take the Waco Tanks because
right.
My son is serving in the Army in Korea, and he used to do bouldering out at Waco Tanks, so
ooh.
I'll send it to him.
Well, he'll get a kick out of it.
We
pretty much covered the gambit of what is Waco Tanks, and there's a lot to it, quite a bit to it. All right, we still have a Pepe certificate here, more DVDs. Carla, we got you, and we got another question. You want to hear it?
Okay.
Because you can win something else.
Yes.
You ready?
Okay.
What was the name of the movie that recounted Hugh Glass's life as a mountain man?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
We were mentioning it earlier.
We can't go there. All right. Well, thank you for playing, and don't go away. You at least get this DVD. Hold on.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks for playing. Hold on, please. All right. We got that one. Should we give the answer out? Just move on. Because there's no more callers.
Why not?
Whatever.
What was the name of the movie?
What was the name of the movie? Joy Poole. What does that mean anyway? Say the name.
It was The Revenant.
And?
It means the ghost.
The ghost?
Yeah.
Well, the guy was almost a ghost, wasn't he?
Well, you can imagine if he survived a grizzly bear attack, was left for dead, and traveled, then crawled on his hands and knees for 300 miles, to my hometown near Council Bluffs, Iowa. I can only imagine what he looked like. He probably did look like a ghost.
And you said he had chunks of him missing.
He did. He had large chasms that were missing out of his thigh, his shoulder blade. And
how do you function?
Dr. Willard commented that he thought he looked like he was about 75, estimated him to be 75, and he was probably only about 40. So just the life of a mountain man and a person who survived a grizzly bear attack.
He wouldn't die, that boy.
Oh. They called him Father Glass, correct?
He did. I think it was a term of endearment or just maybe a testimony to his age.
Yeah.
Or the fact that he survived. Wow. Well, that's what we got here, the story of the doctor who patched that guy up. He also went down the Camino Real into Mexico. And on his way, he stopped off near El Paso. And we're going to get to that in a minute because there's something you discovered in this book that the rest of us hadn't heard about before. So Joy Poole is here. We're going to talk about the book. And also, again, the signing, 2 o'clock today at the Fountains. And tune into that. All right. We take a break here. Come back in a moment. Maybe we're not going to take a break in here. We don't have an engineer in there. Apparently, we're not going to take a break in here.
Oh, look. We'll just take a break. Really? Just everybody wait.
He's over at some other station getting something to eat, I think. I'm not sure what. Well, let's go into the book a bit. Now, we were going to also go through our next moment with you was to describe some of those things. We sort of did what he looked like. But, I mean, where else can we go with this?
Hugh Glass, one of the things, he was such an experienced mountain man. There's a great story that Dr. Willard tells in the book about how Hugh Glass went out hunting and he found a wild horse out on the plains of Kansas. And he managed to find some twigs or some sort of fibrous growth, and he crafted a bridle and managed to lasso this horse and comes riding back into camp with not only the horse with this bridle that he had made, but also game for that evening's dinner for everyone. So, I mean, he was incredibly ingenious and knew how to live off the land, if you will.
Amazing guy. He also,
by the way, he was also Scottish, and he had his kilts and his cap from Scotland, and Dr. Willard comments on that. I actually had a television producer from Scotland contact me to verify, you know, whether or not Hugh Glass was Scottish. I think with all the publicity of the movie The Revenant, the Scottish people are very proud of the fact that Hugh Glass was a Highland Scotsman. So I was able to verify that, and this is also the only account of that Hugh Glass was descended from, Scotland.
Well, I think that's interesting, though, because the Scots are a pretty tough group of people, and that just is a testament to him. Like you said, that's probably one of the reasons he survived.
Exactly.
Interesting stuff. All right, we're going to take a caller and go to a break after that. But this caller is not just anyone. This is a guy named Doug Pullen. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, Doug.
Morning.
Welcome here, dude.
How's it going?
Nice seeing you.
We're doing good. Now, you had family in town last week and missed our deal, but we thank you for what you do for the Plaza Classic Film Festival. Tell us about the Plaza Classic Film Festival, what we've got coming up, because you've got the movie Giant figured out.
Yeah, we do. In fact, that's an idea that actually coalesced over a year ago when Senator Rodriguez sponsored a showing of Children of Giant, documentary at the Foundation Room at El Paso Community Foundation. And the whole idea kind of coalesced very quickly about trying to show the movie again, bringing it back for the 60th anniversary, bringing in at least a cast member, if not more, and also trying to do an exhibition at the History Museum that focused on when they were in Marfa back in 1955, and also any El Paso connections to that, because I didn't know what they were. And so I went out to the Academy Library in November and researched through Director George Stevens' papers.
That's a tough assignment, huh?
Yeah, it was fun, but I spent the whole day there, and they've got the gloves on, and it's one file at a time. It's real secure. And but I ran across a lot of interesting stuff. I didn't know, that Leon Gillespie had the catering contract, or that
but what about the fish earrings? What was that all about? My goodness.
What's that again?
The fishing hook earrings.
Yeah, that was Phil Wills, actually.
But that came out as part of this whole discussion last week.
Yeah.
So. Well, now, this exhibit that you helped put together is at the Museum of History, and it opens it's on the 28th, is it? Or what day?
28th, yeah, July 28th through September 18th, and it's called The Giant Story When Hollywood Came to West Texas.
Oh, my. And Doug Pullen, we thank you for calling up. Sorry it didn't work out last week, but we do appreciate what you do down there, dude.
Well, I appreciate your interest in it, and I apologize for not being there last week.
Well, you had a death in the family and a lot of people in the house, so I understand how that can work. So.
It was a little crazy, and I was forgetting a lot of things.
Next time, we'll just come pick you up.
No, we're next time we're coming to your...
We'll send a driver.
Well, we can go to his house.
We're coming to your house.
All right, there you go.
Well, Doug, thanks for ringing up, and we'll see you at the Classics.
Great, thanks, guys.
Take care.
Bye,
see you. Thanks much.
Bye.
All right, time to take a break here. 544-WHAT?
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Hey guys, with summer here, want to enjoy more of what you do? Maybe feel less sore after that round of golf or from working outside? If so, Progene is conducting a national study on the impact of testosterone and will pay you to participate. Go to Progene77.com to see if you qualify. Here, you can find out your testosterone levels for free while getting paid to do something about it. Progene, a leading testosterone brand found nationwide at GNC and other stores, is sponsoring this research and will pay you to be a part of the largest survey of men's levels in the country. There are no needles and no office visits. The clinical-grade tests are painless and confidential. It's an easy program you can do from home, and everything is shipped to you for free. So if you want to feel more energized and less soreness and pain after a day outside, go to Progene77.com. Now to find out your levels for free. That's the word pro, G-E-N-E 77.com. Progene77.com. Enroll today before the study is closed. So go to Progene77.com.
Say, folks, I believe that if you make a product, you ought to stand behind it. And no one stands behind their tractors like my good friends at Mahindra. Now, you've heard me talk about Mahindra's industry-leading warranty, but now Mahindra has taken the best and made it even better with an improved limited powertrain warranty. Not for 5 years, not 6 years. Now a full 7 years on select models. 7 years. That's the industry's best warranty, period. It's easy to offer the strongest warranty on the toughest tractors on earth. So care for the land you love and rest easy knowing Mahindra cares for you with their brand new 7 year warranty. What else would you expect from the world's number one selling tractor, Mahindra? Learn more at MahindraUSA.com.
Take advantage of rock-bottom prices and test drive a Mahindra today at Cisco Equipment in Artesia or visit Cisco-Equipment.com. That's Cisco-Equipment.com.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, the rumor is that Pepe's back from vacation. We haven't verified that, but he said he was going to come back in town after they went wandering the West. They need a vacation once in a while.
Well, yeah, restaurant business is a hard business.
But they're back, apparently, so go out there and check them out. What is their phone number out there? You can get them 877-2152, and Pepe's is at 6761 Donovan. We did not give away the Pepe's, so I still got it sitting here if anybody needs it. Oh, El Paso Archaeological Society today having a potluck picnic.
Yes.
1 o'clock, get out there, meet those people. It's at their lab. And their lab is part of the Archaeology Museum, 4301 Trans Mountain. Come see the lab, meet the people at EPASS, see where you can get involved in looking into people's ancient history around here. And there's a lot of it. And one thing that's gone on here is a lot of it's preserved in the desert.
That's right.
It doesn't just, you know, rot out.
Dry weather, yes.
It just sits there and doesn't blow away. So anyway, EPAS.com. Check those people out because that's an interesting crowd.
That's right. July 23rd is coming. Well, and next hour we'll be talking with Bernie Sargent about the National Day of the Cowboy. This is our second annual event that's going to be at the Richard H. White Park in Anthony, Texas. And it's going to start at 10 a.m. It's going to go most of the day, and then we're going to take a break, and then in the evening we're going to have a showdown at the movies, and they're going to be showing the movie The Cowboys, which is a John Wayne movie with the young boys.
What a coincidence.
That is a great movie for the whole family, especially young kids. And that during the day, they're going to have live music. You're going to have petting zoo, hayrides, food, Old West displays, Old West movies, I already mentioned that one, Young Cowpokes Costume Contest.
So second hour, we're going to have Bernie in here, and he's going to tell us about the history of the cowboy,
No? And they're going to have a watermelon eating contest.
Bernie, you're going to be in the middle of that one, aren't you?
And Six Guns of Shady Ladies will be performing, just all kinds of fun stuff, different displays and
stuff.
Can
we come throw watermelons? Do you have a catapult?
There we go. No, we're going to shoot them.
throw them up with a catapult and blast them?
Yeah, there you go.
I'm into that. Okay, but that's really cool. That's coming up. The actual event is next week, Bernie's
next
hour.
Saturday.
So we're going to get into that stuff. Oh, one more thing to let you know. There's an exhibit down International Museum of Art, Military Service with Honor, a tribute to those men and women who wore their uniforms with pride, served our nation's armed forces. Thank you, all of you. And that's at the El Paso International Museum of Art. Daryl Hyatt and Prince McKenzie put that together. And there's going to be a major Thank the Veterans from Vietnam event toward the end of August. And we're going to be telling you about that, and it's going to be huge at the Coliseum. Going to be a biggie. We'll have more details on that as we go along. Okay. Joy Poole is here, and Joy Poole has got this book, and we showed you how big it was. And what's interesting, Joy, you didn't write the book, you edited the book, some of it, right?
That's correct.
Because you can't write this guy's memoirs. You take and make sense out of them.
Yep. It was a 10-year research project going back and forth to Yale to find first the diary, then the autobiography, and then as luck would have it, Yale was given the return home diary of Dr. Willard.
So why are you interested in this guy?
Well, it's not only just Dr. Willard. For starters, it's a very early diary, but earlier in my career, I lived and worked on the Santa Fe Trail and was a museum director for the Colorado Historical Society, and during that time, I founded the Santa Fe Trail Association, which led me to receive the dubious honor of being called the mother of the Santa Fe Trail Association. So I have a long interest in history, and this is one of four or five diaries that I've been able to find written by people who traveled the Santa Fe Trail or the Camino Real.
Well, that's a good way to do it because that guy was there, and we now can have his eyes to look through.
Yes.
That's always a lot of fun. As you got these guys to Santa Fe, he was a doctor. He became known. Oh, the doctor's in town. Everybody
exactly.
came to him, right?
You know, the Packers, when they traveled across the Santa Fe Trail, first arrived in Taos. And one of his first meals there was described in his book as having pancakes and cheese. And then when I found his autobiography, he talked about a native Indian girl that, you know, very humbly laid out a white tablecloth on a little bench, a banco, brought him some beans, and then these pancakes made of corn. And all of a sudden, you know, the light bulb's going off in my head, and I'm thinking, well, these aren't pancakes. These are tortillas, of course. But one of the things that was missing, of course, were the utensils. And Willard was struggling with, how am I going to eat this? And he's kind of looking around thinking, well, all will be revealed. But he watched his host, who apparently said a brief Catholic prayer and then tore that tortilla in half and started scooping his beans and all, you know, it was all solved.
He figured it out.
Yep.
Well, so Santa Fe was an interesting thing for him. It was in 1825, this was, right?
Exactly.
It had just been Spain, and now it was Mexico for the last 4 years at that point.
And so, you know, when he arrived, it didn't take long for the word of an American physician to, you know, be circulated around those villages in Taos. And one of the first patients he had required an eye surgery. Mm. So he performed an eye surgery in 1825. Can you imagine? No anesthesia, no antibiotics. I'll tell your listeners, you'll have to read the book to learn what happened to that patient.
Jeez, well, that's a lot of detail going on there. Also, as he became further into the trail, he then started south on now it's called the Chihuahua Trail?
Right.
Or the Camino Real.
He was there for about 2 months, and of course he wanted to strike his fortune, and there was a trade and barter economy up there in Taos. And so in the fall, the Missouri traders headed back east on the Santa Fe Trail, and they said, Willard said, what should I do? And they said, well, you should stay in Taos and learn the language, and we'll bring you medicine with the spring caravan. Well, the very next day, he decided he wanted to go to El Paso del Norte. So he went around and tried to collect on his financial debts from everyone there in those Taos villages, and then headed down to Santa Fe. In Santa Fe, he ended up treating the governor. He practiced the art of bloodletting. He bled the governor, and the governor was so grateful that he gave him letters of introduction to the officials in further down in Mexico.
There's a good idea.
It was a guy thing, I think.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
And he also gave him a first-rate mule, but he there met Augustus Storrs and John Ward, who both became U.S. consuls to Mexico. Ward happened to be Irish, and I think there's some Irish people listening onto this radio broadcast, so I just wanted to weave that into the story. Anyway, Augustus Storrs and John Ward and Richard Campbell all start down the Camino Real. And
no wagons. These are horses and pack mules.
Again, exactly. And they're at Socorro, New Mexico. They knew they were going to have to cross the Jornada del Muerto, so they lingered long enough to buy enough sheep and cook their meals to allow them to cross that waterless stretch. And then finally they hit water there near where modern-day Las Cruces is. But, you know, back in those days, the Rio Grande used to weave around quite a bit. And there were different arms, if you will, of the Rio Grande. And so they hit water, and then they traveled again the next night, and that's when they hit a paraje that was called Cotton Grove.
The south of Las Cruces.
Yes. El Bracito. It's near where the El Bracito land grant is, which, in English means little arm. And so it was there that Dr. Willard, in his memoir, mentioned, we camped at a grove that belonged to John Heath. You know, about 5 years later into the research, I'm in Missouri and I'm doing research, and I found in the Sappington papers a letter written by Samuel McClure to Colonel Marmaduke back in Missouri. And the letter at the top has a salutation saying Cotton Grove. And in that letter, he references John Heath. And all of a sudden, I put two and two together, and I said, I remember Willard talking about a grove and Heath. Well, lo and behold, I realized there was a paraje that existed apparently during the 1820s that was called Cotton Grove. The other day, my good friend and archaeologist Carl Lumbaugh took me out there and showed me where the location was, and it made, you could see where, there would have been large cottonwoods growing where, the river was before. Of course, it changed course 20 years later.
How did we escape this? How did that escape our learning up until now?
Well, I think it's only by having these authentic written accounts. I will say that we do know about John Heath. What I know is that he came out shortly after Mexico won its independence from Spain. He was out here, and in 1822, he applied to the Mexican government for a land grant. He converted to Catholicism and promised to bring 150 colonists out to settle in that area.
But to the point of research, you found a reference in one book. A few years later, you found a reference in another, and you're the one who figured out there was a paraje didn't know about.
Sure.
Interesting.
Put two and two together,
will. Get us down a trail a bit to El Paso, because what we call El Paso didn't exist at the time.
Right. And it was called El Paso del Norte, and of course what is today Ciudad Juarez. But shortly after leaving that Cotton Grove the day after leaving that Cotton Grove paraje, then Willard arrives in El Paso del Norte. And what he found was a beautiful lush valley with all kinds of groves of fruit trees and all kinds of other vegetables being grown here. And also he knew about the brandy. He and his compadre, John Ward, who is the Irishman who later became a U.S. consul, immediately went to the gambling hall and spent the night there. And John Ward apparently lost about $150, and Willard claimed he didn't lose a penny or a peso.
Is in Juarez, what was El Paso del Norte at the time, nothing on this side of the river.
Right.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. And the groves they referred to are probably the Tiguas down in what's now El Paso, because they're the ones that built them back in those
sure.
days. Interesting stuff. And the name of the book is the Over the Santa Fe Trail to Mexico, the Travel Diaries and Autobiography of Dr. Roland Willard. Now, what you're hearing now are some of the detailed accounts as he went through our area here, which on our side of the river, current El Paso, there was just like nothing here. It was just part of Mexico at the time.
Just the trail went through here at that time in the 1820s. I'm sure there was a few haciendas along the way that he might have, stopped at, and refreshed himself a little bit. But mostly they were, deadheading, if you will, all the way down to El Paso del Norte. Now, what strikes me is that Willard fully intended to stay here in this area.
Oh.
But apparently once he saw it, he realized that, again, maybe it was a trade and barter economy, much like what he had left in Missouri.
He'd been paid in too many chickens already.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Too many fine mules. And so he only spent the night here and then hightailed it down to Chihuahua.
And he spent a couple years there, ended up on a boat, and ended up back in America. We're going to take that on in a minute. We'll take another break, and we'll have our last moment coming. And so wrap it up for us, and we'll tell you also about the book signing today, 2 o'clock. That's out there, Barnes & Noble, on the east side. So shall we take a break here? Let's do that. Call us up if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Wildfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a crashing economy. Are you ready? At best, your local stores have a 3-day supply of food. Will your family have to fight over what's left? Are you willing to gamble your family's safety that it'll never happen to you? Be wise and be ready with 25-year shelf life Wise Food Storage. Wise Food Storage provides affordable, ready-made gourmet meals with a super long 25-year shelf life. Meals like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, breakfast, dessert, drinks, and snacks. Just add water and your family is eating delicious food instead of fighting for scraps in a food riot. Try it free. Order a no-obligation free sample meal delivered right to your front door. And for a limited time, get a 10% discount and free shipping on all orders. Once done, you're set for 25 years. Be wise and be ready with Wise Food Storage. Call for your free sample now. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244. 800-836-8244.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And right now, you can try Listen Clear absolutely free with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now, 1-800-900-6181. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-6181. That's 1-800-900-6181. 1-800-900-6181.
Whether you're grilling up burgers or cruising with the top down, iHeartRadio is your summer must. We've got hundreds of live stations and millions of tunes that are perfect for the pool, your cookout, the ballpark, or just rocking down the road. The iHeartRadio app and iHeartRadio.com. Summer soundtrack. Summer's soundtrack. All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. iHeartRadio.com and the iHeartRadio app.
Of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
One thing to tell you all about Bernie Sargent, congratulations to the El Paso County Historical Commission. They got the Distinguished Service Award from the THC again this year. And how many is that in a row? Two. Six.
Seven.
Oh, very good stuff here, THC El Paso.
They're taking over
Doing
Texas.
Doing good thing. And Bernie's on next hour. We're going to talk more about that. What do you got?
Okay, what we've got going on at the El Paso Museum of History, this is coming up next Sunday, July 24th at 3 p.m. It is on, well, actually, how it works out is on July 28th, 1866, the United States Congress voted on the Army Reorganization Act that created six regiments manned by black soldiers. Many of these soldiers earned their freedom through service in the Union forces during the Civil War, and in time, these men came to be known as the Buffalo Soldiers. Their story is told by Dr. John Langlier in his newly released book, Fighting for Uncle Sam, Buffalo Soldiers in the Frontier Army. Dr. Langlier will discuss his book and be available for signings, and that's the 24th at 3 p.m., and it's free.
And that's at the Museum of History.
Yes, the Paso Museum.
Well, you know, Buffalo Soldiers, that was a very interesting era, and somebody needs to do a movie on that, a big one, some kind of big
thing. One that's done well and correctly, yeah.
You know, having the right kind of actors and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, to the discussion at hand, we have this book here. It's the signing for the book today. Joy, you will actually sign the book for people?
I will.
They have to buy it?
At the Fountains at Barnes & Noble.
But they need
to four.
It's good if they buy it. Because if you sign it and put it back on the shelf, that's really not cool. So go out to Barnes & Noble today, over the Santa Fe Trail to Mexico, the Travel Diaries, and Autobiography. About halfway through the book, it starts over.
That's true. Because it's the diaries for the first part of it, and then he... Later in his life, when he was an elderly man, he wrote the autobiography, opened up his diary, and expanded on all those little entries that he made by the campfire as he traveled the Santa Fe Trail and the Camino Real in the 1820s.
What if he'd had email back then? This would have been a lot easier. Can you imagine? But this is an interesting book about the man's chronicles. Okay, now our story, we got him through what is El Paso del Norte. And he was going to stay here, but had a better offer somewhere in Chihuahua. And
he decided to head down to Chihuahua. Apparently, he must have known about the silver mines that were down there, and that attracted him to that area. It had a really strong economy.
He could get paid in silver and not chickens.
That's right.
There you go.
There you go. And for those of you that don't know, silver was the monetary standard in those days. We didn't arrive at the gold standard until the 1890s. But anyway, when he arrived in Chihuahua, he arrived in the middle of a measles epidemic, and boy, were his services needed.
Did he know how to deal with that, apparently?
Yes, he did, and he took his credentials, the letter of introduction he had received from the governor of New Mexico, to the officials there in Chihuahua, and 2 months later, December 31st, they granted him a medical license, but of course, he was practicing medicine for the first 60 days while he was there. But one of the requirements was that he'd minister to the poor free of charge. And he could see them, but he couldn't give them medicines, of all things. So I don't know what that was all about. But
it's a Mexican thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So he did that for a while, but he decided to get back to Missouri on a ship of some kind.
For two years or three, he was there in Chihuahua. And what happened was the Mexican government decided to expel the Spanish-born Pensilaves. And all those Spanish aristocrats were Dr. Willard's patients. And so he was deliberating, what do I do? What do I do? And they said, well, we think you should leave with us. And
where'd they go?
So they went, some of them went to Cincinnati, and he traveled with some of them. And by the way, Dr. Willard eventually learned Spanish. And once he actually ended up settling in Cincinnati for a short time, continued, learned Spanish, and then helped those expats in Cincinnati negotiate different things in America.
So you're telling me there's a Spanish colony in Cincinnati?
There was.
Ah, interesting.
Which I'd like to research. I haven't had
time. Yeah. That would be an interesting book.
Bring that book back, Joy Poole, next time you come. So we got this hour in the bag here, Joy. Thanks for doing this. Over the Santa Fe Trail to Mexico, you got a book you can go buy today, Barnes & Noble, on the east side at the Fountains.
And I put it on our Facebook page that you can get at the Barnes & Noble today, or on, you can actually walk in the store and buy it, or you can get it at Amazon.com or University of Oklahoma Press.
That's correct.
Fair enough. Joy Poole, good luck with it. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you coming down all the way from Santa Fe on the Camino Real.
Very much enjoyed it. Thanks a million.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you. See you maybe at lunch. We're going to go to the block today if anybody wants to do that.
Come visit us at the block.
Everybody else, we're waiting for Bernie Sargent next hour. We're going to talk about cowboys.
Cowboy.
I think he is one. At least he knows
how
to define
cowboy.
But the day of the cowboy is coming, so we'll hear about that next hour. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments.
We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
Hi.